questions off the audience, yeah? And we're going to start with you, Luke.
Here I am.
It was like a no-look pass. It was like a no-look pass, like Kobe Mainu. You know what I mean? He looks at one person and passes. Right, come on, Luke.
Right, now, this is a good one, right? If Southgate has to pick between Tony or Watkins, which one goes to the Euros in the summer?
Oh, Tony.
No.
Yes. Yeah, watching Tony. Amongst those, what would be, I'd call them sort of floating brilliant players like Foden and Bellingham and Mainu. I have to say, I thought him up front holding his position, he's wise, he looked calm, he was controlled. I thought that was really good from Tony.
Do you not feel like, though, with that, okay, we all know Kane's going to play. So maybe the third game in the group, once that's won, we're going to play a different striker, maybe. I just think with Watkins, that when I was watching that game against Belgium, that when it was getting towards the end, Watkins came on and he was pressing and he just offers something totally different.
Well, that's an interesting point because I always think when you... Harry Kane's our centre-forward and if he's injured or missing a game, do you want something different or do you want someone to replicate what he brings to the team? And that's a completely different argument because I do think Watkins is completely different and I think Tony is more like Kane. Where he comes to the ball, he brings people into play. So, I mean, is there a case not that both of them?
I
think he said a couple of weeks ago, didn't he, that he, depending on what he picks, he might have to pick two or he might pick one. But I think he'll pick Tony. And I also think he'll use Rashford and think that can be his third striker as well. But for me as a Villa fan, obviously I'm going to back Watkins. And it's like, he's got 16 goals this season, 10 assists, 26 goal involvements, the highest in the whole Premier League. The void has been left with Kane. Watkins has filled it. Surely he has to go.
We should have said Watkins and moved on, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, let's
Ollie Watkins.
Move on. Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. If you're new around here, make sure you are subscribing. Smash a like on this episode and comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. Smash a like for my appearance on the overlap anyway. Justin, I came out punching a little bit. What are you saying?
I think you did a good job. It blows my mind that, you know, the answer to that question, they didn't even skip a beat, did they? Straight in. Yeah, Tony. I don't know. It's like they haven't seen Ollie Watkins play all season. And I still don't get the argument you want to take Tony, who's the same as Kane. No, he's not. Nobody's the same as Harry Kane. We haven't got another Harry Kane, otherwise he would be absolutely in a fantastic position. You have two Harry Kane, wouldn't we? He's not half a player, Harry Kane. No, for me, you take Ollie Watkins. And in fact, for me, you don't take Rashford, you take all three of them. I've said this before, you take all three. You take all three, like you take three goalkeepers. Because if you get an injury to a keeper, you've still got two. If Harry Kane breaks his leg, God forbid, in the first game, and you've got one of the striker, you're in trouble, aren't you? So you take three strikers, you get rid of one of the attacking midfielders, which we've got absolutely ruckloads of, and that would be Rashford, because he's not in good form, he hasn't had a good season. And you take the rest of them, that will, you know, supplement our strikers, so yeah. I'm glad somebody was talking sense on the overlap anyway.
Thanks. Really weird, though. When I was at Man City in the concourse, this steward came up to me, Man City steward. He's like, are you that Villa fan off the overlap? And I was like, oh, my God, this is getting too weird now. I get, are you that? It's you off TikTok. I had that quite a bit as well. So, yeah.
Are you Otamendi? That's the other one.
Yeah, that's the other one. You never knew Otamendi was a Villa fan.
He's a Villa fan.
the new one now is that Carvajal that's from Real Madrid. I'm getting that a little bit as well. But
I can see that one, to be fair.
Right, let's talk about the football then. Right, so big game at the weekend, Villa v Brentford. We've seen Unai's resting of players ready for this maybe and ready for Thursday next week. I'm looking forward to the game, as I always am. And I feel like with the games coming up at home now, pretty much every single one of them is
must win. You know that phrase, like, must win. I'm always very, like, when people say, this is a must win, this is, in, like, December, I'm never really, like, one of them that understand that. But now we've got 7 games to go in the business end of the season. We are in must win every game territory, I think. I just think that's where we're at the minute, really. So at home, there's going to be an expectation from the fans, and they're going to look at the fixtures and they're going to look at Brentford and think that this is a game that we've got to win. And for Champions League, qualifying for it, to get fourth, I think it is a must-win game. That will pose problems for us, I think, because they're a good team. They're a decent team. They're a hard-working team. You know, I've spoke about, I like Thomas Frank. I think he's a really good coach. So it's going to be a difficult game, I think. But it's one that we've got to come out the blocks quickly and impose our style and identity. And I think the big thing that's sort of got me thinking we're going to win this is John McGinn's back. Justin, how are you feeling about Villa and Brentford?
Yeah, I think it's, like you say, it's in looking at the 7 games we've got left. The 4 home games are basically critical to finishing in the top 4 now, I think. I think we've got to pick maximum points up in at least 3 of them. So I'm looking at Brentford, Bournemouth, Chelsea. I think they're going to win them 3. Liverpool game is going to be a tough one because it's the second to last game of the season. They're obviously going for the title. They're a very good side. So that's a difficult home game for us. I think we're capable of winning it, you know, no question there. But yeah, I think you've got to, you know, for the first time, I think, this season and since Emery's took over, I do think he looked past the Man City game to the game on Saturday. And I think that's the prudent thing to do. I think you have to take each individual game on its merits. And last night, we were missing half a team anyway. We then lost Martinez in the warm-up through illness. And he'd made the decision to rest, if you like, Torres and Tielemans. Yes, Bailey was left out, but I always felt that him and Diaby would share that role last night anyway, regardless of all the other team selections. So I think he definitely had an eye on the game on Brentford on Saturday because I think he sees, like we all do, the massive importance of a home game against a team that are struggling, you know, haven't won in 8, lost 5 of those, not scoring goals. So it's a huge opportunity for us to put yet another 3-point big marker down, which then would leave us with 6 games left. It's just mad how quickly this season is coming to its climax there. And we are still in 4th place, you know, we're still in pole position. We've got rid of one of the difficult games now, City away. I think we just draw a line under that and we move on. I don't think we need to talk about it anymore. And we move on to an eminently winnable game, providing everybody's fit who we think is going to be fit. I think there's still a big question mark over Ollie Watkins. I think there's a chance he could maybe make the bench, possibly start, depending on the severity of this this hamstring strain, I think it was. But I wouldn't rush him back because I think with injuries like that, muscle injuries, if you're not 100% right when you play, he could easily, his hamstring could go and that could be it for the rest of the season. He could be out for 2 months and that's us done for the rest of the season. So I think we've got to be very careful with him. I think we can win the game without him. I think Durant showed enough last night that you know, he's a finisher, he's a nuisance, and with everybody else back in and around him, the huge, you know, one is obviously McKinn. I think it's something we should be looking forward to and absolutely front foot going for him and hopefully a good, comfortable win. You know, a couple of goals more than them and that would help the goal difference side of it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with all of it. And something that I think it's very easy to overlook when you're actually going through a season is what happens like next year and what happens with the development of some of the players that we've got. We're very, at the minute, we're all very tunnel vision, Champions League, this season, 23-24 season, and that's all we're thinking about. But against Man City, I don't really want to go on about it too much, but there were 4 players that I thought, when I think about it, I think they're actually quite young and they're actually not the finished article. And they're actually, some of them, the future of our team going forward in the next 2 or 3 years. And they might not put in a standout performance, but you could start to see little snippets in their game of what they're about. And with that little sprinkle of Unai Emery stardust and that little bit of coaching, nurturing, education, they're going to become better and better players. And the four that I'm talking about, Morgan Rogers, John Duran, I'm talking about Timmy Rabuna, and that's three of them. And I'm also talking about Diaby as well, that we've sort of rolling our first season with Diaby and the best going to come out of him. So, you know, when I'm looking at Rogers, and I think he's the one that's sort of getting the most minutes at the minute, what are you starting to see with Rogers that you like?
I think the last two games, really, I think we've seen the culmination of a running side and a player that's confidence levels are lifting all the time. And I thought it was really funny when he said, I think it was come out that the manager says you're a championship player to him as a bit of tongue-in-cheek, because I think that's shade to, go on, son, you show me you're a Premier League footballer. And it's all about feeling of belonging for young players to come through, you know, from when I first started watching Villa, young kids come through all the time and we hear about them. We obviously go a lot to the reserves and 21s to see them, and there's lots of really, really fine footballers there. But that step up from that level to the Premier League is very difficult. And it's, you know, I've no doubt most of them could play that level comfortably ability-wise, but it's getting their head around, oh my God, I'm in the Premier League. You know, it's such a huge institution, it's such a huge step up and a massive thing to be actually doing, that I think they need time to believe that they are proper members of the squad. And say for a Timmy Rabunim and a Morgan Rogers last night playing in midfield against arguably the best holding midfielder maybe even in the world, Rodri, and a player like Phil Foden, who's at the top of his game, up more than likely PFA Player of the Year, it's going to do him the world of good to be sitting in there playing against the best players, you know, because if you can hold your own against the best players, then the next game when they're playing against the likes of a Brentford side, with all due respect to Brentford, they're not of the level of those players, it should give you that confidence to go, you know what, I mixed it on Wednesday with two of the best players in the league, so my confidence level now against Brentford is going to be through the roof, because, you know, I did really well on that game. So, yeah, I think Rodgers is starting to show what he can offer this side. And, you know, this deep line running, this bit of more physicality, he's a big lad. But loads to learn, you know. I think we forget that Duran's literally just turned 20 as well. You know, what it's, if Duran wasn't from, you know, Colombia and didn't come from abroad for a decent fee, he'd just come through the youth team as a 19-year-old, there'd be no pressure on him whatsoever. He'd be like, wow, you know, this kid's done well to get him minutes this season in the team, let alone be the main backup for Ollie Watkins, and, you know, people clamouring for him to start and playing well, and, you know. So it's about balance. It's about giving these players enough time to grow, enough confidence in games to not have their confidence knocked and go back a couple of years and a couple of, you know, levels. And then when you do need them, so when our first 11 is fully fit and playing, they're on the bench and there's a genuine reason to bring them off the bench because you know what they can offer the side. And I think that's really important over the next 2, 3, 4 years, because with the financial side of things as they are, we don't know how we're going to go in the summer. We might have to rely on these young kids to be the, you know, the players to come off the bench and offer us something a bit different. And I think a lot of them have got lots and lots of potential. And that's what it is at the moment. It's potential. They're not the finished article. So we back them and we give them as much confidence as we can when they're on the pitch. And hopefully they'll develop into really, really fine footballers for Villa.
Yeah, that one thing about Rodgers and Emery, the way he says, like, you're a championship player, I kind of really love that. Because I'm kind of thinking now the psychology behind it, right? So Emery must keep chipping to him saying, you're a championship player. But for Rodgers, when Emery says that phrase, you're a Premier League player now, that's Emery saying, you are a proper player for me now. Yeah. And when he says that to him, that is going to be when he's reached that level that he's like, yes, I'm a proper Villa Premier League player. So that day will be massive for Rodgers. And I think I love that old little psyche and sort of psychological warfare between the two of them, I guess. I guess it's a bit of banter, but it's a bit of seriousness, and it's a bit of Emery sort of pushing him a little bit, really. So, yeah, absolutely love it. Right, so Brentford, going to be a tough game. We're going to have a little look at how they set up against Brighton the other night. It was 0-0. Now, here we have Brentford's team in the red, and this is their average positions from that game. So I've used that as a base to take a look at how I feel like that's going to go against Villa as well. And I think we're better than Brighton. And I think we are a little bit more clinical than Brighton. And we've got that little bit more zip about us at the minute. And we've got that air of control. The one area that I think we've really got to make sure we handle properly with no mistakes is the Tony Wiese role. Or that might be Mbeumo if he comes back in, but he only had 15 minutes against Brighton, so I can't see him starting that game. But it's this area I think we've really got to be wary of, where they split, where they move, where they sort of get that link-up play through there. They can be a little bit direct. So that's the biggest area I think Villa have got to make sure we have full control in. And other than that, I think we should be quite dominant in this game. You look at the average positions there against Brighton. You've got the two wing-backs who neither one of them are in front of the halfway line, which tells me that they were pushed back, they were penned back. And what you want for a team that play with a five at the back is you want it to be a five at the back. You don't want it to be a three at the back. And what I mean by that is if it's a three at the back, then it looks something similar to that. So their wing-backs are pushed on and they're having quite territorial advantage. They are having complete width. So it's important that these are pushed back. And that with Moreno, we will do that. And then I think we've on our right-hand side, with pace of Diaby, Bailey, McGinn, I think we'll have more explosive nature pushing Collins and Potter back anyway. I've kept the striker blank because of recording this episode. We don't know what's happened with Watkins. So you'll be watching this on Friday and you'll probably know who's going to be there, but we don't. So we've left it blank. And then with McGinn in there, you know, with that midfield, we've got this box midfield. I think Tielemans is going to play. Justin, taking a look at that, what are your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I concur with the lineup, really. Regardless of who plays in the striker role, I think we have to go strong and we will. You know, I think the Diaby, Bailey, Tielemans, whoever it is up front, is probably the key to this game, because if they do play five at the back, it's important we keep them penned back. It's important we keep that back five occupied and we don't let them break. We don't let them get, you know, any kind of success down the flanks, and we don't let them get anything into Tony, because he is a threat, you know. This, what a bullshit, bloody Watkins Tony rubbish England, you know. It's not
well,
even
to be fair, conversation. Justin, it was more, I asked the question on the over.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really on about that. I mean, the spinning in you know,
no, I know.
Press have sort of brought it to the fore that it's one versus the other. And, you know, it's probably better if Watkins doesn't play Saturday, because then we won't have this incessant talk about it the whole time, you know, and both of their games ripped apart, you know. So I think that's the most important part for me. We've got to stamp our authority all over this game. We've got to dominate the ball. We've got to dominate possession. We've got to dominate the final third, the midfield to the final third. McGinn back, having this little break. Yes, it's not ideal, he's been missing, but very similar to Kamara. You know, we've done okay without him. I don't think he would have made much difference at Man City, if I'm brutally honest. We won the game against Wolves without him. So I think having him back as a leader on the pitch, it does elevate our side. I've no doubt about it. His enthusiasm, his energy just isn't, you know, he's infectious, isn't it, for our side? It's massive. So, and we've just been talking about the players that have done pretty well, you know, and add minutes as well. They've got those to come off the bench as well as supplements. So, I just see a win for Villa. I really do. And yes, anything can happen. And I'm not writing them off. But in the form they're in, with what's at stake for us, I think I can see a really good win for us, I think, on Saturday, hopefully. The only player I worry about is Mbeumo, and hopefully he doesn't play. Yeah. Got to think about him.
Cool. Head to head then. So we've got one home win. They've got one home win and one away win for Aston Villa. This season, we're fourth. They're 15th. They've lost 17 games. We've lost eight. We are scoring two goals a game. They're averaging 1.4. They're conceding 1.8. We're conceding 1.5. Recent games, the 4-0 for Villa, the 1-1 and the 2-1. So back in that sort of championship era, they were our bogey team, weren't they? But now we've sort of turned the tide on that. So thankfully, that's good. They haven't got a win in five. As he's looking okay-ish. Is it in eight?
Eight games, so we've got... won. They've lost five out of eight.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not going to say anything. Right, no. So we've got the blue is where... we've got the blue is where Villa have complete control in games, the grey contested areas. The red is where the opposition have most of the ball against Aston Villa. And for Brentford, what colour do we think this is going to be?
Red.
Oh, I haven't got it. It's red. It's red. So... yeah, we should dominate the game on possession, and you can
I think that's basically what I was saying about dominating the ball in those red areas. That's where we have to be really, really on top, and that's where they've come unstuck this season. They've allowed opposition teams to dominate the ball in basically the key areas of the pitch, you know, the wide areas and the centre circle. If you've got ball dominance there and yeah, you're in big trouble, aren't you, as a team? And you can see that in the league table, how much they've struggled this season.
Yeah, you can see that their style is fast and direct. So they're in the mould of West Ham, Forest, Everton, but not as good, slightly slower. So those are all of my little slides from that. And then we'll just have a little look at some of the other numbers from them this season. So we've got... big chances per game, they're at 2.8. We have got, what other little cool little metric stats have we got? Passes, so they're averaging 44.1% possession, 76.4% passing accuracy, 86 in their own half, 63 in the opposition half. They've had five clean sheets. They are getting, this is quite a cool, tackles per game, 18.4. That's very... it's very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Random. They've got 22.8 clearances per game, which seems quite a lot, doesn't it, that?
Shows they're under pressure a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Ball recoveries per game, 56.6. Errors leading to a shot seven. Yeah. So there you can see here as well, you've got their sort of that eight games that you're saying, Justin. Should we have a little look at who they're... main players are then this season? So their main best player so far is their goalkeeper, Christ, 7.40. Then we've got Mbeumo, Flecken, Pinnock, 7.11, Tony, 7.10. Let's have a look how many goals they've got. Mbeumo's got 7, Visa's got 7, Maupai's got 6, Tony's got 4. Let's have a look at the combined. Yeah, so Mbeumo's got their biggest numbers. So, you know, if he plays, he's who we've got to watch out for. So this is SofaScore. You can get it for free. I'll put the link in the description. You can have a good little mooch around all this. Their away form isn't great either. So their away form, they're 16th in the Premier League with just 3 wins, 1 draw and 11 defeats. They have scored 17 goals and conceded 25 and they've got 10 points. So, Justin... how's this game going to go? How's it going to pan out then? Villa win?
Yes, I think we win the game. I think, as I said earlier, with everything at stake and the players that we've got, hopefully very well rested for this game, the key players for this game, you know, sold out for the park once again, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff. There's only one result coming for me. I have got a little interesting question for you, and this is a quandary. I saw this on Twitter earlier.
Okay.
Douglas Luiz is one yellow card away from a 2-match ban. And now it resets after the game against Brentford on Saturday. So after that, it's clear. I think I know the answer to this question. does he get risked in this game, bearing in mind that he would miss Arsenal away and then Bournemouth at home if he gets a yellow?
See, I also thought of this earlier and I was thinking, God, what would you do?
Because he has got, as we saw last night, he's got this little tendency to dangle a leg out of the edge of the box. And he quite often gives these little cheeky free kicks away, which led to one of the goals against Man City. And I think he probably gets away with two or three of them, depending on the leniency of a referee. But if he keeps doing it in a game, he's bound to get a yellow card, hence why he's on nine. I think overall, you can't think ifs and buts and whatever. You play your strongest team on Saturday.
Well, I would caveat this and think of, he's done it against Man City. Mm. So Emery's ringed the changes at Man City, thinking of something further down the line. Now, Emery knows best, and he knows what Douglas Luiz is like.
If he was worried about this yellow card with Dougie,
he would have left
him out against Man City. He would have played Tielemans. Knowing he would have needed two yellow cards to get a booking, so he'd have had to get. So I think if he was concerned about the yellow card problem, I think he would have left him out against City and played Tielemans in there. Maybe. I'm just surmising. Yeah. So I don't think he doesn't. I think he starts on Saturday.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I hope he's just told to rein it in a little bit. And if we can get ahead comfortably, if we can, I don't know, get two or three goals up with half an hour to go, then you drag him off that pitch as quickly as you possibly can. Because we've got players on the bench that can fill that role. So I think he's first substitution if we can get into a decent position in the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think, for me, he's got to play. He was quite good in December when he was only one away from getting another one, and he'd have to miss City and Arsenal, and he never missed it. So I think I'd definitely play him, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah, so hopefully that sounds... Well, you've answered your own question, Justin, because you went...
I knew what I was thinking, but I just thought I'd see what your thoughts on it were. It's an interesting conundrum, but I think given the importance of the game, you know, and the fact... I think if Kamara ain't fit, I think probably he might leave him out, but I think you've got to play him.
Definitely, right. Score prediction... I'm going to go... I've been going threes recently. 3-1. What are you going with?
I had 3-1 in my head as well. Yeah. But I'm going to change it to 3-0. Let's have a clean sheet.
Nice one. Nice one. Yes. Lovely, lovely stuff. Right. So... subscribe to the channel if you're new. Smash a like. Comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. We'll have fan cams match reaction on Saturday night. And then we'll have probably a debrief on Sunday. And then we'll turn our attention to European football up the Villa.